Folks, are you glad you're saved tonight?
Amen.
Boy, is that not wonderful to be saved by God's grace? Isn't it wonderful to know, Brother Derek, if we pillow our heads tonight and we don't wake up on this side, we'll wake up over yonder? There's peace in knowing these things, my friend. The Bible said that there is a peace that passes all understanding. You got an announcement? You just want to be seen or what? Praise the Lord, brother. Amen.
I just thank the Lord for saving me.
Happy birthday. Saved for 34 years. What a blessing. Somebody else might want to brag on Jesus. Don't let me stop you. Somebody's got something they just got to say. I'm not going to come back and prime the pump. I'm going to preach here in just a minute. God's given me something. Go ahead. I'm sorry, honey. Amen, Ginger. Amen. Anybody else? Come on, Brother Woody. Come on, baby, sing through it all. While she's coming up here, got several announcements coming up. Our own youth event coming up here August the 18th. It'll be a Saturday evening. A joint choir service with the community choir at 5 o'clock. And then the actual service time be at 6 o'clock with Brother Larry Adams and Brother Larry Key bringing the message both on the same night. It's a one-night event. It's a back-to-school event. You tell every young person you know. I don't care if you're going back to a public school, a Christian school, or a home school. Maybe you're going to the school of hard knocks. I don't know what you're going through, but it's not just for the young people. It's for young and old, 8 to 80, blind, crippled, or crazy. It don't matter. You come out, and let's just worship the Lord that evening. Show God how much we love Him. Show this community that there's something about serving an almighty God. Brother Woody's asked Macy to sing this song, Through It All. And I'd have to say, through it all, the Lord has proved faithful. He has proved faithful to me. And can't thank Him enough. I'm a preacher and I still get amazed. I do. If I shared with y'all some of the things that I don't understand it, but maybe it's not for my understanding right now, but I'm telling you, God is blessed. And through it all, God's been good. Go ahead, honey.
I've had many tears and sorrows. I've had questions for tomorrow. There have been times I didn't know right from wrong. But in every situation, God gave blessed consolation. That my trials only come to make me strong. Solve them. I wouldn't know what faith in His Word could do.
Brother Woody asked that song, "Through It All." On the other side of what is our all, what's left? We might be like those that washed up on the Isle of Melita. If you'll remember, Brother Scott, the Bible said that Paul was told that he's going to be a witness in Jerusalem or in Rome. He said, "You're going to Rome." So what's Paul to do? He just trusts, "I'm going to Rome." God said, "I'm going to Rome. I'm going to Rome." He said, "Don't shove off just yet, because I know there's a storm a brewing, but..." They said, "No, you're a prisoner. You don't tell us what to do. You get in the ship. We're going." And then in the midst of that, the Bible said there arose up a great tempest in the sea. And Paul said, "Do thyself no harm." Though they lightened the load and they wished for the day. They threw off all the wares and the goods of the ship. And listen to me. Through it all, you might get there. You might wash up on the isle which is called heaven. On a broken shard of the old ship of Zion. It might just be a fragment. But the Bible said that all 276 of those men on that ship, there was not one life lost. The Bible said some washed up on boards and some the pieces of the ship. Can you see, Brother Derek, one of them, maybe all they got's a piece of gopher wood, just a piece of some kind of balsa wood or something that the ship hull was made out of. And that's all they had, Brother Tim. And they clutched that thing to their chest. And that's what kept them afloat while they were out there in the middle of that sea. Bless God, every single one of them washed up on the isle, which was called Melita, which is modern day Malta. Not a single one of them perished. You say, "What's that all about, preacher?" It's this, namely. Bless God, you might get there on a brokenness. You might get there on a failing, and not even of your own design or making. It might be something God was doing to help you to grow and to be stronger. Let me tell you, God is so, He's bigger than we are. We don't understand this stuff, but God does. And I keep going back to Brother Jerry and Miss Martha and their daughter, and how that, bless God, those twins are now, how old, Brother Jerry? They're 8 years old. So we go back about 9+ years ago. Their daughter was devastated, Miss Jan. They're broken hearted. They're just as low as they can get. Why? Because they had lost a child. I mean, and that's a tragic thing when a mother would miscarry a baby straight from the womb. But bless God, whenever they turned around twice and looked toward God and trusted God that He knew what happened. Hey, I just asked Him how old the twins were. Did you get that out of that midst of that? Right after she miscarried, the next time, bless God, God gave them a double portion of His glorious blessing. And now they've got twin boys that just turned 8 years old. Listen, you might not understand it right now, but trust that God knows best. Just hang on to that old ship. Listen, it's broken. It's going to get broken. The Lord said He would be broken. Don't you? I'm not misquoting the Bible. I don't mean that there was a bone in my Savior's body broken, because mainly there was not a bone broken in His body. But the Bible said that He was beaten. He was broken. He was chastised. The chastisement of the world was upon Him. Everything about that man was disjointed. We would have no desire to even look upon Him. That was the brokenness of a man called Christ. But bless God, when He did that, He paved our way right into eternity on the street of gold. My goodness, what a Savior. Anybody else? I told them in the prayer room I was going to brag on you just a little bit. Go ahead, honey. Amen. Amen. The book of Mark, chapter number 8 tonight. When I compliment you tonight, don't think that I'm complimenting you tonight. Did you get that? When I compliment you tonight, don't think I'm complimenting you. When I compliment you, I'm bragging on Jesus. When the Apostle Paul said that I thank God upon every remembrance of you, what was he saying? He was saying, I thank God upon every remembrance of you. He would commend them for their faithfulness. He would commend them and thank them for giving unto his necessity. Not that he desired the gift, but he desired fruit that might abound in their account. But he was still thankful for them. But he said, I thank God upon every remembrance of you. And that's the way that I am. I thank God upon every remembrance of my church family. And how that God has blessed Calvary Baptist Church. You, my friends tonight that are here, you are the core. You are the backbone. You are that steadfastness that a church must have if she is going to survive in this late day of 2018. You've got to have a core group of believers. You've got to have a solid backbone. You've got to have that or you're not going to have a church. And those churches that might have 50 on Sunday, Brother Tam, they'll have 10 on a Wednesday night. We're blessed here that we'll have 250, and then we take about split that in about half, but we're even above that. So I commend you. When I commend you, I thank God that he has put it in your heart and caused you to understand that faithfulness is not just a suggestion in the Word of God, but that he said, Miss Jean, that it is required of stewards that they be found faithful. That's a requirement of God. It's not something that the pastor just says to make you feel good. Listen, y'all need to come to church. I'm not just telling you to come to church because you need to come to church, but it's designed by God and written down in the book of Hebrews in chapter number 10 and verse number 25, Brother Tam, that we ought to do it the more as you see the day approaching. It says, forsaking not the assembling of yourselves together as a manner of some is. Brother Stephen said, do it more. And bless God, I'm thanking God and I'm commending you tonight for your willingness to serve and your willingness to let pride go and come up and bow your knee. If a man won't bow, he should not stand. But we stand sometime tall and erect before God. We stand up tall and erect before God when we should be bowing low and prostrate before him. Bless God, because we're nothing and he's everything. God's purpose and his will and his plan for our life, it can be fulfilled even without us. But we can't do anything without him. Paul acknowledged that when he wrote to that little church at Philippi and he said, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Paul didn't say, I can do all things, period. He said, I can do that only through Christ Jesus because therein lies my strength. Tonight I'm just commending you a little bit. I want to thank you. Thank you for your devotion to God. Thank you for your willingness to give unto the causes of Christ. When this plate comes around, it's not just us trying to shake down the laity of the church. It's not us just trying to fleece the flock. No, bless God, every dollar that goes in here, it's going in for a purpose. It's to send missionaries out, to send people to prison, to help maybe some little widow lady put some oil in her barrel someday, or somebody that's trying to decide between paying a power bill or getting their monthly medication. Bless God, we might be helping them to get their medication this month that they don't have to go and walk in high blood pressure. Miss Wanda, it's bigger than we are. And once we realize that it's bigger than we are, honey, we'll start to give to that. And we'll understand, hey, everything I put in there, that goes to God. That's God's. And then God determines what he does with it. Thankful, I'm thanking you for your, not just your devotion to the Lord, but devotion to giving, your devotion to step up. When Brother Justin and Miss Lindsay are needing teachers in the Bible school, I saw some of you that I've never seen do much before. Bless God, in there you are, working crafts and working food, serving plates, fixing hot dogs, teaching classes. That's a blessing to a pastor. We shouldn't have to start bending arms and twisting elbows to get people to do stuff. You're just doing it, and that's a blessing. I shouldn't have to come by and bend you to get you to do something for God. You should just be wanting to do it because, hey, God's done so much for us. So I am commending you tonight. Keep going. Stay the course. Don't waver. Don't let things knock you down. And they're coming. There'll come times you're going to want to quit. There'll come times I want to quit. Not too long ago, I got lower than a rattlesnake in a wagon wheel rut, Brother Steve. I was so low. And you asked me, you said, why were you so low? I don't know. I wish I did. Sometimes I wonder myself why I get low, but I got such a great big God, I wonder why I get down. Tam, you get there. I'll get there. We all do. But we got a great big God. Mark chapter number 8 tonight. I'm going to preach a little message about our faithfulness. The keys to faithfulness are found in three things, and you're going to see them very, very vividly whenever I point it out. Sometimes things are not very vivid until the scriptures are revealed from the Lord. Maybe through some visiting evangelist, or maybe some missionary will come through and preach, and there it is. Just, I've never seen that before. But this is not some deep theological message. But there's three things to our faith that you're going to see tonight as we look into God's Word. I would invite you to stand all over the house of God tonight and read His Word. In the book of Mark, chapter number 8, some of you have gotten footnotes or maybe man's writings in your Bible. Let's see if you've got something in yours that would say, is yours King James, Steve? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Brother Steve says, starting just above verse number 34, if somebody got something different than this, you want to just read it out. Brother Steve's in Mark chapter number 8, above verse number 34, there's a little divide there. It's like a parallelism in the scripture. It says, Steve says, the true use of life, the value of a soul. Does yours have anything? What's yours say? Yours says the same thing. This is Schofield. What does yours say? The cost of discipleship. Brother Tams, what's yours got in it?
Mark 8, verse 30. Just
Jesus
foretells his death.
Jesus foretells his death. What about yours? You don't have anything. That's fine. Has yours got anything, brother? Some of them are. This, hers says, follow me. That follow me. That true cost of discipleship, those things that are printed by man in whatever Thomas Nelson or Schofield or Hedrickson, whatever Bible you've got, God's going to speak to you tonight, and you could put your own in there. It might be different for Derek than it would be for Steve. It may be different for Steve than it would be for me. But I want to look at the three ingredients to faithfulness. Three key ingredients to our faithfulness unto God. Here they are. We begin the reading in verse number 34. When he had, let's back up and get verse number. I'm back up at the back part of the confession of Peter's confession of Christ. When he said, whom do men say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And we go right down through there. Verse number 32, it said, he spake that saying openly, and Peter took him and began to rebuke him. But when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou hast savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. And then, as Mary Doris would say, or Miss Melissa's would say, follow me, cost of discipleship, whatever. Here comes the three things, the three key ingredients to our faithfulness to God. When he had called the people unto him, with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father and with his holy angels. Brother Chris, you mate, has been a preaching machine for the last little bit. God has been greatly using him, and I think it's the first time that we've had him in several weeks, and probably for the next few weeks, but he still has several assignments. But I'm going to ask him if he would bless our scripture reading, and then we're going to sit down and just bring you just a short message tonight. Brother Chris. Hey, man, as you're being seated, let me hit my first Sunday school teacher. Brother Steve, you taught this past Sunday for Brother John. And the people that was in my class or in our class, if you were there, raise your hand. Keep your hands up. Now, if you think Steve studied a lick last week, keep your hand up. If you don't, put your hand back down. You see everybody's hand still up. Brother, what Greg said, Greg didn't think you studied. I think that Brother Steve spent, I don't know, hours maybe. When I heard you, I said, this man's been in the Word of God for a long time to get all this. Now, you know the difference in a man that stands up before you and takes a Sunday school quarterly that was printed on paper, printed by man, written by man, ordered by Brother Keith, paid for by Brother Danny, handed out by Brother Paul, and then read to you. That just about sums it up for a lot of churches. That's all they get, Brother Derek. Somebody hands you a quarterly and says, you're a teacher. And then that man would stand up there and open that little quarterly and read to you. My friends, that's not faithfulness. There's not a lick of faith in that. What you're doing, you're reading a printed product by somebody to a group of people that understands already what the words are written. But when that man that's going to rightly divide the word of God, that's going to stand before you, he demonstrates his faithfulness. He demonstrates his ability or aptness to teach. The Bible's supposed to be, a pastor's supposed to be apt to teach. And able to teach. Brother Tam, that faithfulness of that man is only demonstrated whenever he gets up there. And if he had that book or not, if he had that quarterly or not, goes ahead and gives you, under the power and the demonstration of the Almighty God, what God has put in their heart. And you did that this Sunday. And I trust that teachers all over this class did that. I trust that Brother Scott got along with God and said, Lord, help me. I want to pick the songs, Lord, that's going to bring you honor. I want to pick the songs, Lord, that's going to prepare a platform for the preached word of God. And then Miss Macy, I'll use her tonight. How many of you think that God has blessed this youngin with a gift? I believe that. I believe God has given her. He said, how do you know that? Because I watched her live. I've seen her play. I've heard her play. But I want to tell you what a pianist said one time. It wasn't Miss Macy, but a pianist said they must practice. And Miss Cindy and I had been to the hospital the other night. We come in, we pulled in the garage, and when the garage door come down behind me, it's like a chamber then, because we've got a garage, and you've got just a big old box of a garage. And I could hear coming through the kitchen door, the piano keys were just a ringing. And I thought, she's in there playing again. Let me tell you this, that pianist said that if I don't practice for 1 week, I can start to hear it and I can start to feel it. That same pianist said, if I don't practice for 2 weeks, they hear it. Now, you'll get that in just a minute. She said, if she don't practice for a week, she didn't, but the pianist, if I don't practice for a week, I start to hear it. But if I don't practice for 2 weeks, they start to hear it. Now, that's the truth when it comes to the preaching of the word of God, the teaching of the word of God, the playing of instruments for God. Whatever that talent that God hath blessed you with, whatever that gift that God, and we've all got them. Everybody got a gift. Everybody got something they can do for God. It's possible, Brother Derek, that you've got gifts beyond your own ability. It's possible you've got something beyond what you think. And God, that's where God shows up. When you say, I can't, God says, yeah, you can. And that's when God can through you or through me. But as we look at the key ingredients unto the cost of true discipleship and our ability to remain faithful under the cause of Christ, it's namely found in that first verse and whatever we opened up, that if any man whosoever would come and after me and be my disciple, he got to do something first. And that first is the denying of himself. My God, we are so prideful. We are mindful of ourselves. We try to satiate our flesh. We try to satiate our mind. Everything we do, Brother Charles, it's all about us. It's me, me, me. And everything we do is all about me. But once in a while, somebody will mess up and they'll hit a lick for God. And then when they do, Brother Tam, if we're not real careful, we'll take credit for that too. Whenever we mess up and we do something good for God, we start thinking, boy, I did good. No, you didn't. God used you, but you didn't do anything mighty for God. It was God all the time. You were just a glove in which he placed his hand. You were a vessel. So the true cost of discipleship is namely this, to deny yourself. You say, what do I have to deny myself? Use your own imagination. I start off saying, deny yourself just a little bit of time. We talked about this in the prayer room just ever briefly, Brother Tam. That was a time when people prayed. And I'm talking about prayed. Brother Woody, there were people, there was one of our old deacons down at the church house who talked about his daddy being a prayer warrior. And whenever he died, he was there in the hospital right before he died, Brother Derek. The doctors and the nurses all come around, and his daddy had these gnarly looking knees. I don't understand why anybody would be looking at their knees. I don't look at my own knees. I just wash and get out of the shower. But they said this man had awful looking knees and said that the man was about to pass away, and he looked over over at Brother Johnson. He said, what in the world has happened to your daddy? Brother Tim, you know what it was? They thought he was a carpet installer. You ever see those carpet installers? They crawl around like this all day long. They take that bump pad and they'll kick that thing, and they're stretching carpet, kicking that thing. Brother Tim, their knees must look about like a chicken catcher's fingers. Y'all ever seen a chicken catcher for Tyson? Their knuckles are all big and swollen up, and they're terrible. They said, what in the world? Was he a kick carpet installer using a kick? They said, no. Doctor's wondering what was wrong with his knees. What's wrong with his knees? He said, he got those down behind the barn. There's an old big rock down there. That's where he went. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't have a rock down behind the barn. I don't even have a barn. But, Baskett, I know one thing. I need some more time on my knees with God. You need more time on your knees with God. There's a book called Praying Hyde. He was a missionary overseas, and he was known for praying. And, Baskett, if we're ever going to do anything for God, we're going to have to deny ourselves, and we're going to have to get along with God. Deny ourselves a little bit of our time and get along with God and say, there's some young people in the church house. God is trying to seek your way. There's some sick people in the church, Lord. They're seeking your healing. There's some read people in the church, Lord. They're seeking your comfort. Oh, Lord, some lost people. They're seeking something in this life. Lord, send them conviction in their search for that is just and right. But we won't deny ourselves 5 minutes of time. We give God our leftovers. At the end of a long, busy day, we try to stick in a little prayer of conciliation at the end of the day, maybe just to try to help ourselves to feel better before bed. And that's terrible. We're to wake up, pray, and say, God, thank you, Lord, for waking me up to this, a brand new day. Lord, show me opportunities. Show me the path that I should take today. Give me a witness tool right in front of my face. Lord, put somebody there. But the true cost of discipleship, the follow me moment, is only going to be whenever you prove yourself out faithful after your own day of atonement, day of grace. Get saved. Get up every day. Look for somebody. Somebody came in today, and I'm telling you this. I'm wretched. I'm awful, Brother Derek. But once in a while, somebody will catch me doing good. That today was one of them days. Most times, thank God they don't catch me being bad. They never have any confidence in me, neither would any of you. You just had left today. And this lady came in and she just simply said, I need prayer. And I said, okay, we'll pray. But we had other people in the lobby then. We just went out the side door over there back into the box lobby, and I just held her hands, Brother Tam. I'm not going in a private closet with some woman. We ain't going to do that. I just stood right there in front of the post office door, and we prayed. I'm not talking about 20 minutes. I'm talking about a 30-second prayer. But I heard the door open right in the middle of our prayer, so now what am I going to do? I've done been caught. And it was another prayer warrior. And she walked in, and as soon as we said amen, she said amen. She said, I see that you've met our postmaster. She said, he's prayed with me many times. You said, what are you telling all that for? Bless God, people know. People look. People watch. Now, I'd rather them find me praying than find me cussing or swearing or doing something else. Brother, I ain't got but one testimony, and I'm trying my best to guard that. But I'm going to have to deny myself a little bit of pride. You mean you're the business manager there? You are the postmaster, and you're going to delve down to the level of prayer, and you're going to belittle yourself in front of... I ain't belittling myself. I'm lifting up God. If I look little on the side of my God, then so be it. But there we are praying. And bless God, let me tell you, God will honor your faithfulness. Amen. Don't care who's looking. Don't care who's listening. Let's don't be ashamed of him, Brother Tam, but that's in the latter part of this. We'll get there in just a minute. Don't be ashamed of him. Brother Steve, when you're over there working and ministering to families, and you do that, if you don't know, Steve works at a funeral home. Do they know that you're a person of Christ? Do they know that you're a man of faith? I hope they do. And I hope they do over there at the county office building. I hope they do where you go and where I go and where everybody in here goes, because we've only got one chance. We've only got one opportunity a lot of times to make that first impression. But the true cost of discipleship, the true test and the true telling, the true first ingredient of our faithfulness is to deny ourselves. It's not hard to do, my friends. Some of you, I've seen it before, not so much in this church, will pop the 100. crease it, fold it into a paper airplane, and when the offering plate comes by, sail that booger right in there so that everybody in three pews can see that you put in 100. God's not impressed by that. Be faithful in your giving. But the Bible says when you're giving your alms, don't even let you... What? Don't even let your right hand know what your left one's doing. Just give it unto God. It's in our church covenant. It's in the Bible. But giving is a part of worship. That's a part of your faithfulness. That's a part of your devotion unto God. The first thing that I had penciled down whenever I was talking about this was just simply self-denial. A life of denial is a life of dying. Is that right or wrong? A life of denial is a life of dying out to yourself. Paul said to deny yourself, to mortify the flesh. Paul said, I die daily. And if we die daily, brother, what's that mean? Paul said, I'm giving a little bit of myself every day for the cause of Christ. And we know that he did. The second ingredient in this, if we were looking at it as an ingredient, it's not just deny yourself, but deny the secular. Deny that stuff all around you. Look what it says here. You say, what's the secular? It's the stuff that we get so encumbered with. He said, whosoever would deny himself, let him take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel is the same shall find it. For what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world? He's talking about the stuff. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world, but then loses his own soul? Brother Chris, what's he really gained? He's lost it all. But we like stuff. I'm going to go ahead and tell you, you're going to find anyways, Miss Cindy and myself are going to be moving shortly. We are in the process of purchasing another home. That in itself is a miracle. I'm not going to share you all the miracles in that, but that's a big old God that make this thing happen. I can't even tell you all of it. You're going to find out anyway. Many of you already knew, but we purchased another home and we're going to be moving. But you know what I found out? We have a lot of stuff. For those that knew, we moved up here. We bought a house up here whenever we moved up here to be your pastor. Do y'all know who bought my old house? Who bought my mother-in-law? You know what that means? I had a lot of stuff back then. Guess what, Miss Kim? She got a lot of stuff. Because when I moved, Brother Brian, her basement's still full of my stuff, but my stuff become her stuff. But Cindy's an only child. Do y'all know what that means? That my stuff is it's still my stuff. I can't get rid of it. I'm trying to get rid of it. Now, the chances are that whenever we sell this home and we move again, it's not going to be that I can leave a lot of stuff. But one thing I have found is, Brother Steve, we got a lot of stuff. It's just stuff. When I went over to my dear mom's just a few months back, when mom had passed away, March the 20th of this year, and all the boys and myself went over there, and my whole life, Brother Tam, concerning my mother, had been relegated to one little box about this big. Everything else in that house, Miss Marlene, was just stuff. My brother saying, y'all want any of this? Get it. She got this patchwork quilt. She got this milk jug. She got that. She got this. She got a bunch of pigs. Mama loved pigs. I don't know why, but she had a shelf this big with probably, how many pigs on that thing? 100, 200, 500 pigs. She had every kind of pig you can think of on that shelf. Who wants them pigs? I don't want the pigs. Y'all want the pigs? But Tam, you know what? Mom had a lot of stuff. My friends, if a man should gain the whole world and you could have all the stuff that money could possibly buy, you couldn't get a house big enough to put all your stuff in. And then you lose your own. So what have you really got? You got a lot of stuff. But you're coming up empty on that which really, really matters. Nothing really matters in this life except what we've got and done for Christ. It was written on the barrel of an ink pen that somebody gave me not long ago. He said, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. And I said, there's a lot of truth in that. Because the other stuff, Brother Steve, is going to burn up. It's good for nothing. But my friends, if you'll deny yourself of your time, deny yourself a little of your income, and I'm not preaching about tithing tonight. You know what I think about tithing. I am a tither, and I love to give, and I love to give above the tithe because there it becomes a blessing. I love missions. We do support missions. We've got a lot going for us here at this church, Brother Tam. But if you're not willing to trust God with every fiber of your body that you won't even give him the first fruit, the tenth, then what in the world is he going to do with the 90? He could take every bit of that from you and more and demand more. But he's just a loving God, but we ought to deny ourselves. I'm not preaching about stewardship tonight, but I am hitting the lick on that. What does it really profit you if you gain it all and then you lose your own soul? Or how about if you lost a family member, a son or a daughter that you weren't willing to pray for? The last, and this is quick. I told you to be quick. Verse number 38. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh into the glory of his Father with the holy angels. I told you tonight when I come in, I wanted to compliment you. And then I wanted to give you a command. My command to you is stay faithful. Deny yourself. Deny the secular. But don't ever deny him. Do not ever deny him. What is that, preacher? It's simply doing what Peter did. I know not the man. It's simply changing like a chameleon. You know what a chameleon is? A chameleon is that little animal that God gave the ability to change its own natural covering to fit into whichever survival mode is in that particular environment. If it's on a green tree, guess what? God gave that little booger the ability to turn green. If he's laying in some brown bulrushes or gravel, brother, he turns the color of whatever he's laying in. And I'm afraid, Brother John, that we've got some God deniers. We've got some people that are willing and even able to change to fit whatever environment that they have come into. And if they're not very careful, by blending into that surrounding that they're in, they are denying a thrice holy God in the fact that you can't even tell that they're God-fearing. You can't even tell that they're born again. You could not tell that he's a deacon. You couldn't tell that he's a preacher. You couldn't tell that he taught a Sunday school class. You couldn't tell that he was one of the greatest prayer warriors that the pastor had in his congregation. Why? Because he has that ability to blend in, and he's done it through denying God. Don't deny him. Amen. The Bible said that if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. I don't want my God ashamed of me. I do not want my Heavenly Father to look down and say, I called him to preach. Really? I called him? I don't want God to be ashamed of me. I want to lift him up. I want to honor his name. I want him to say, that is my servant. That's my child. Just the same as the Father looked down from the portals of glory and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. I want him to say, that's my man. I called him after I saved him and found him faithful, putting him into the gospel ministry. And I want him to God to say to y'all, hear ye him. That's... That's what I desire. I want to honor God with my life. I want to honor God with my testimony. I told him in the prayer room the other night. 2 weeks ago, this past Monday night, my wife and I had a chance to meet some friends of ours we hadn't seen in, 29 years or something. They come into town. They had been known to drink. They drank 30 years ago when we knew them. I'm sure they're drinking now if they hadn't got saved by God's grace. And whenever it was asked, we ain't seen them forever. Pick a place to eat. Cindy and I said, well, I know where we're going. We're going to a place that don't serve alcohol. So we went to Cagney's. It's a good place to eat. Pretty good food. Don't serve alcohol. First thing out of his mouth, whenever the waitress come around and handed us a menu, what's the first thing he said? He looked for the wine list. You got any liquor? You got any beer? You got a wine list? You got anything? No. You said, what are you doing, preacher? Are you denying yourself? No. That was not, I went there so I could deny myself a drink because they don't serve it. No. What were you doing then, preacher? I was making sure that I don't deny him. Because I'm a preacher. I'm in my county. I'm in my town. Y'all know who I am. People around here know who I am. Can you see one of them finishing off a bud and saying, bring me another one? There's four of us at the table. And then the other person at the table says, I just finished mine, bring me another one. Now there's four bottles on the table. There's four of us at the table. That looks like Cindy just finished her second one. I'm on my first one. They're both having one. You said, what'd you bring all that up for? by being around that stuff, Steve, and partaking in that, you could deny him without even knowing you're denying him by being in the presence of that. I don't want to deny my Savior. I don't want to deny him with my actions. I don't want to deny him with my words or deeds. I sure don't want to deny him in front of somebody that come right out and said, "Are you a Christian?" There was a girl at Columbine. Y'all remember, there's a story that there was a movie made out of that. There was a story written, a screenplay written, and then actually a movie. I can't remember. What's the name of that movie? Somebody knows that. What was it? She Said Yes. What's the name of the movie? What was that? I'm Not Ashamed. Is that what y'all showed? Okay. Have you got it or seen it? Y'all are a lot of help tonight. That's a good congregation, ain't it? This little girl was one of those at Columbine High School when those two maniacs went in and shot up the place. They found her, I think, hiding in the library, and they stopped long enough to ask her if she believed in Jesus Christ. She was not ashamed. She said that she did. They killed her. Can you imagine John the Baptist? Well, you said, what did John do? He was the forerunner. But do you know what got him in trouble? Preaching the word of God in truth and boldness. Whenever he looked right at Herod and said, "That ain't right, what you've got going on right there. That's your brother's wife." Why'd that happen? For Herodias' sake, they said, "Bring me John the Baptist's head in a charger." And they did just that. John was not ashamed. John was not ashamed. Did John have low places? You better believe he did. He said, "You ask him, is he the one or should we look for another?" He said, "You go tell John the things what you've seen, the things you've learned, seen and heard of me." John was not ashamed, though. Brother Danny, I believe he laid his head down. Tonight, as we get ready to close this thing down, I give you a compliment to start off. I love every one of y'all. Keep doing what you've been doing. I command you to don't. Just keep doing. There's souls hanging in the balance. Keep doing what you've been doing. And then lastly, I want to challenge you to this. Take somebody by the hand. Through a family member, through a coworker, or somebody, and just let them know the Lord loves you. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Can I have 1 minute of your time? I just want to tell you how good my God is. Amen. Don't tell them how bad they are. You tell them how good God is. Miss Ginger, it's easy to do, honey. Can you believe how beautiful this day's been? It's a beautiful day the Lord's made. Amen. Kippy, it's just that easy. Brother, can you believe how good our God is? It's that easy. I challenge y'all, get somebody by the hand and say, "Let me tell you about my Savior." Y'all can't talk about the Savior. Start off talking about how your pastor is. So y'all know my pastor. That boy's a nut, ain't he? They'll say, "Yeah, who is your pastor?" "Yeah, Mark." "Yeah, he is a nut." Then you can say, "Well, guess what? He screwed on the right bolt." It's easy. It's not real hard. Honestly. Y'all know that white-headed man that comes up to Calvary? Which one? The white-headed one. Oh, yeah, him. Where's he go? Calvary? Yeah, oh, he's a good man. Use each other. Use your pastor. Use that church. I go to that church up on Pads Road. You know where Pads Road's at? Yeah, which church is it? It's the only church on Pads Road. It's easy. I challenge y'all. Tell somebody about how good God is. Deny yourself. Deny the stuff and the secularism around you. But don't deny God. Brother Scott, come up. Miss Macy, come back over to the piano tonight.